Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Razor Riffs with Keith Razor and Alan Lee, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, Rifters, this episode of Razor Riffs with Christopher Titus is brought to you by Craig Rogue, Craig Rouquet. He's an up-and-coming stand-up who has been featured on Comedy Central. He's disabled and Mexican, so he'll mark off two diversity quotes for the price of one. Book him on your shows and let him fill your sad, meaningless lives with well-crafted jokes. He's the only vegetable who doesn't pick fruit. Follow him on Twitter, add him on Facebook, or add him on Instagram, and check out his stupid, sexy face. But, more importantly, book him on your shows. He is a very funny comic.
Amy Brick with Brick & Company Real Estate gets homes sold for more than asking with her 11-day marketing plan. This is an amazing way to sell homes. She not only gets you more than you're asking, but she also gets multiple offers. This is an amazing time in real estate, and it is a seller's market. If you want to cash in on your property, call Amy Brick right now to talk about your real estate plans and how she can get you more money than you ever imagined. She lists homes all over Southern California. Amy Brick, call her at 562-335-5269 or visit her website at amybrick.com. That's 562-335-5269. California license 01358129.
This episode is also brought to you by the biggest Christopher Titus fan, Russell Larson. Thanks, Russell. All right. Excellent. Yeah. So that was fun.
Yeah. So we're running. You know, we're having.
We should introduce our guest because he's in the elevator. But today's guest, you've seen him on the hit Fox show Titus. He was also on the drama show Big Shots, where he was a lovely actor. Like, he had really good acting skills. And he was the star writer and director.
Lovely.
Yeah, he's the star writer and director of the movie Special Unit, which is now on Amazon Prime. And he's logging in right now.
Special Unit.
Christopher Titus. How are you, Chris?
Christopher Titus. Hey, Christopher. Hello, sir. Oh, my. Oh, look at that.
What's up, Chris?
Not much, man. Thanks for doing it. Finally, right?
Oh, for comfortable some hair. I didn't blow you off, though, like the last time.
Don't be silly. Don't be silly.
Well, the first time we actually blew you off because the director's dad died. Right. And then the second time you had an audition.
Is that the old my grandma died? Excuse us. Sorry. My grandma died. I couldn't be there.
So how did your audition go? Did you get it?
I did not. I'm here. I would have called you canceled. Sorry, I'm on a show now. I can't do your little
thank
radio
you.
Show.
Thank you, Chris. We like that. Just ask him if he got the part.
Chris, we got sponsors for today's shows, and I got to say, I love your fans because one of them actually sponsored the show.
You're biggest, kidding.
No, his name's Russell Larson. He's your biggest fan.
And, seriously?
Yeah.
Russell, all right.
Yeah, so you know, I was like, whoa, okay. So,
well, if Russell wants to make it at the Phoenix next Saturday, not this Saturday, the one after that, on the 9th, we're filming the new special, I'll put him on the list.
Oh, nice. I think he lives in Arizona, too.
So nice. Does he really?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, then he's on. Tell him to get in touch with me. Go to my contact page, get in touch with me, and we'll work it out.
Oh, cool. Fantastic. That's awesome, man. Yeah, well.
What does it take to sponsor the show, really?
Really? It takes money.
Yeah. How much?
It takes begging.
It's a well, you know what it is? I don't know why it's so pricey, but it's $125 just to rent the stuff, and you have a director who's not even here, and an engineer, and a sound guy, and you're like, you know. So,
it's $125 to sponsor the show. That's kind of cool. I like that. Yeah. But in.
Yeah. Christopher has done bigger things than this. budgets. Much bigger budgets than this.
And much smaller, actually. Okay, I've done the whole spectrum of crap to cool.
There we go.
And Roseanne, I also got my show canceled. So I've done a lot. I've done a lot in this business.
But
a lot of it bad, yes.
You got it canceled in a classy way, though. I mean,
there's no way anybody. Here's the thing. I didn't get canceled. I didn't go from like having a top two show to having no show in 24 hours. How do you do that?
Quite a drop.
Here's my problem. Here's my problem is that it's weird because the same people that were like Kaepernick should just shut up. Yeah these players, man. Right. These guys, you know, I don't. It's not your First Amendment rights. You work for somebody, bro. You work for to do it, and they're like, wait, whoa. That's your First Amendment rights. Shut up. No, you can't have it. Why do we all have it both ways?
I know. People are just, I don't know.
Full of crap? Is that the word?
That's the word. Yeah. That's the word.
People are full of crap.
Full of crap.
Well, yeah, but you know what's weird is because, like, I'm a huge fan of Roseanne, of her stand-up, but after what she did, I was like, I'm a fan of her past, not her future. You know what I mean?
Well, even the joke was lame. It was one of those, it looks like blah, blah, and blah, blah had a baby. I wrote that in 83. My first joke ever was Richie Cunningham and Elroy Jetson had a baby. Like, everybody did a blah, blah, and blah, blah had a baby joke in 83. What year is it now? Is it 2018? She cracked that off against like one of like Obama's closest advisors. Like, just shut up.
Well, I will
say, I am on Twitter and I am angry all the time and I am ranty on Twitter. But I get a TV show. You're going to see me, here's some more puppy pictures. Hey, these are kittens snuggling each other.
I think I'm on TV,
watch my show.
There you go.
Because then that'll be my outlet. You know, the show itself will be my outlet as opposed to...
Sure.
And by the way, Colin...
Wow!
Black people, monkey. Just
not good.
Yeah, that's what I was. I was just like,
terrible.
That's why I was like, I'm.
I had a terrorist called a Muslim Brotherhood.
Yeah,
the Muslim Brotherhood and Planet of the Apes had a baby.
Yeah,
you can't mix those two.
I was like,
even one is enough to get the show canceled. Both.
Ooh.
She's a terrorist monkey. What are you doing? What are you and then the head of ABC is a black woman. What are you doing?
But Alan has a weird theory about this. He thinks that she did it because she doesn't want to do the show anymore.
I think she got lazy. She's she said, I'm going to shoot myself and go out. Well, no, that's a little saying, but who knows?
This guy's like a conspiracy theorist.
Now it's sleeping pills. sleeping pills.
Then she blamed Ambien.
Ambien.
She blamed Ambien, which is the best response was from a company that makes Ambien.
Sure,
one of the side effects is not racism. That was from Ambien.
True. If you read carefully the label.
Yeah, listen right closely to the commercial. They talk fast, but not in there do they say racism.
No.
White supremacy. Not part of the side effects.
Not there. Ask your doctor. Next time you go.
Ask your doctor. If
doctor,
you're gonna,
is there racism in the same Ambien?
If you feel like marching with torches, consult your physician.
Oh man! But like speaking of Roseanne, Tim Allen's show Last Man Standing's coming back too. Is there a chance for Titus to come?
I don't know. Fox said no. They said they owned it. I asked someone why, and they said that because of me, the show got canceled. Basically, it wasn't ratings. Gail Berman and I didn't get along.
Right.
And Gail Berman got tired of me saying no to her. I said no to her a lot.
Yeah.
She wanted to have Faye Dunaway on the show, and I said, but now which is great because I didn't know when Faye Dunaway said she wanted to play my mom. I was stoked. I was like, woo!
Yeah.
And then Faye Dunaway showed up on the set, and we were in the middle of this food fight scene, one of the Thanksgiving episodes, and I had mashed potatoes all over my face, and we were fighting each other. Mm-hmm. So they go. In the middle of that, they go cut, and then someone comes up and goes, "Hey, Faye Dunaway's here." And I go, "Well, what?" She wants to talk to you about the script. I said, "I literally have mashed potatoes in my hair." I'm like, "This is the worst possible way to meet Faye Dunaway."
Yeah, to talk about script.
So I'm like, "Scrape, flop, scrape, flop," and I walk over, and it was a script I had written. And I walked over and Faye Dunaway, and she goes, "Hi, Chris Faye." And I said, "Oh, nice to meet you." And she goes, and I look at the script she's holding, and it's got all these tabs, these little post-its sticking out of the sides of it. And she goes, "Hi, I just want to show you what I'm not going to do." And she starts, that was how we started. That was like sentence two.
Ouch.
And she starts flipping to the script, and the character she was playing was my mother, and my mother was mentally ill, and we'd written all these funny mentally ill things that my mom did. And Faye said no to all of them. Well, how do we show that you're mentally ill? Are you going to bounce some checks? What exactly are we going to use to illustrate it?
Sure.
So she wouldn't do any of them.
Wow.
But I was still cool with it. And I said, okay. All right. We'll work it out. I talked to my executive producers, Jack Kenny and Brian Hargrove, who are very, very smart men. I said, we'll work it out. And they said, she's not going to do any of it. I said, no, that's what she said. But it's Faye Dunaway. I got it. I got what was going on Faye Dunaway. Well, here's what happened. About an hour later, I went to wardrobe to get some changes, and the wardrobe guys flip out on me. They're sure. They're like, "Oh my God, we're not working with Faye. We are not working with Faye. I'm not here. Here's two guys. We're gonna have come in. They're gonna do wardrobe. We're not working those weeks." I'm like, "What the hell's going on?" Then I have a camera crew. One of the heads of the camera. We had 4-man camera crews, and we had 4 of them. And two of them came over, and they go, "Hey, I've worked with her before. I'm not gonna work with her again. And here's a number of a guy that'll work the weeks that Faye Dunaway works." So now I'm starting to get like. So I have a mutiny going on.
Sure. Right.
I have props going. We're not going to work with Faye Dunaway. So at one point, I have 6 people that, in an hour have told me they're not going to do this show with Faye Dunaway. So I'm like, uh-oh. So I go up to upstairs and I go talk to Jack and Brian. I go, "Look, man, I got a mute." And the thing with Titus is we built a new set every week. It wasn't like Cheers. We had
Did
the bar,
you really?
And that was it. Well, because every story was set in one place in one time, almost in real time. That's how we did the show, and we shot it like a play. We never stopped, which is that's not how TV works.
Yeah.
But when they told me here, my naivete and stupidity about television helped me because they went, "Well, here's how sitcoms work. We film the same scene 13 times, and then till we get it right." And I go with a live audience, and they go, "Yeah." I go, "Don't they hate you by the end of the night?"
Sure.
Yeah, they're here till like 2 a.m. I go, "No, that's not going to happen." I go, "We're doing a show." And they looked at me like I was crazy. Sure. I go, no. So the actors, we all had to work. We had to rehearse it like a play. And then we would just go scene to scene to scene, and we'd roll the black and white stuff in. So it was like a play.
Right.
And so we were done with 2 run-throughs. We'd start at 7. We were done by 9.
Oh my God, that's unheard of!
And then pickups, we were packed. We never had to bus in a bunch of Asian tourists. We never had to. Yeah. We never had to pay people to come to the audience. After the people knew it, they would just. We were packed every Friday because people wanted to see a show.
Yeah.
So I talked to Jack and Brian, and I say, tell them what's going on. I go, "Look, man. I go. I got a mutiny on my hands, and I go, I can't piss the crew off because they're building a new set every week." So. Yeah. I said, "Why don't we, I said, "You guys handle it." And they go, "Okay." And they go, "We can't fire her." And I said, "Well, okay, look, tell you what, you guys hire her, but I'm going to blame you." I go, "When the people come to me, I'm going to send them to you."
Right.
And they got weird. They said, "Well, we don't know about that." So they go, "We're not going to do that." So then Stacey Keach comes in, and Stacey goes, "You got to hire Faye Dunaway." I go, "Stacey." I go, "Keach, here's the thing. If you'll take the heat." I go, "If you'll take the heat, when she goes crazy, because that's all I hear she's going to happen. I don't know if she's going to, but that's what I hear."
Yeah.
I said, "But I'm not going to hire him and burn this crew down." And he goes, well, and he wouldn't do it. Then the Michael and Mindy, the other producers came in, the studio producers came in, and I said, "If you guys will take the heat," nobody would.
Oh, wow.
They made me call the president, Gail Berman.
Oh, my.
I'm like, I'm like, is everyone else just really, are we just a bunch of weenies? Like, what?
Yeah.
So I had to call her. I said, "We can't hire her." And I told her why. And she very quietly, it was one of those cold, icy, like a serial killer assassin.
Oh.
Say, I was like, "We can't hire Faye. I got a mutiny." And she just goes, "Okay." This is Jason Bourne. Is that you? What's going on? So Gail and Berman and I didn't, we didn't see eye to eye on a lot of things. And she'd come in. She was our 3rd president in 3 years. Mm-hmm. And
that's pretty bad, right? Like
Fox was going through a tough time. The year, Titus, in a weird way, it worked for us because 2 shows got made it out of that season, Malcolm in the Middle and Titus. And it was the year that 13 of Fox's shows died in the first 2 weeks of the new season.
Ouch.
And we were pushed off to mid-season. Malcolm was the only show that survived. And then we got put on mid-season. Mm-hmm. And then we were like heroes and blah, blah, blah. And it worked out great up until I said, "I don't take the comedian to the meeting."
Right.
The comedian don't go to the meeting.
Go.
Yeah, you don't let a guy from the time he's 18 write his own material, perform it his own way, do what he wants to do, then put him in a diplomatic system where he has to take where some lawyer goes, I don't think that's funny. Well, you've never written a joke, right. Douchebag. So guess what? I really don't care. Thanks. When I need some legal advice, I'll call you.
That's right.
You dingleberry. Yeah, right. So anyway, it got weird.
But mid-season though in sitcom land, those are kind of like savior shows, right?
Because sometimes they just burn them though. Sometimes they just go, "We're gonna set this on fire and put it on in March at 11:30.
Because my uncle was on Rules of Engagement, and that show was mid-season every single year, and it was like it saved like every single show that was after that. You know what I mean?
They they would kill it and then they save it just in case.
So
how long did it last?
It lasted maybe 6 or 7 years.
In mid-season?
Yeah. And it reached 100 episodes. So, and once it hit 100, they were just like, "Okay, we don't even care anymore." And that got canceled.
Right.
But yeah, so, like, it was weird because, like, because he was also on Less Than Perfect, and he loved that. And then Rules of Engagement, he's like, I was scared because, you know, it doesn't tell you on mid seasons if they're coming back or not. He's like, yeah, he'll come back, whatever.
You know, you're in a constant. The thing about Hollywood is you're in a constant state of. Yeah,
checkers,
yeah. You're on the ragged edge the whole time. It's like, we want you to be on this tightrope for 8 years. You know,
just don't skip.
Yeah, the only way you know you're coming back is if you're in the top five shows. And the thing that bothered me about arguing with Gail Berman, my biggest regret of the entire show was at the end of the day, the creativity of the show. I love the creativity. She wanted us to break up Titus and Aaron in the show, and we'd already done that episode 4.
Yeah,
and I said no. But I wish I had shut up. Not for me or the creativity. I wish I had. There was 150 people that had jobs.
Yeah.
And because Gail Berman and I had a schoolyard argument.
Yeah.
It didn't. You know. It. I screwed them.
Yeah.
And which Roseanne did yesterday. 200 people lost their jobs.
Exactly. Yesterday. And I don't think ABC. I don't think ABC did it. I think Roseanne did it.
Yeah. When people keep saying that, like ABC. No. ABC is first of all, it's Disney. One of the biggest corporations on the planet Earth. They don't need you.
No.
Yeah. I think they did the right thing, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, I'm a huge fan of the show, you know what I mean? Because it was smart jokes, but I was just like, you know, that's just way out of line.
There's no choice in the matter.
Yeah.
You know, Mickey Mouse.
I loved it when Tom.
Right, Mickey Mouse is not a racist. Even if Walt Disney was, Mickey Mouse is not.
I don't think he is.
You know, I loved it when Tom Arnold was on the writing staff on it. You know what I mean? And I was like, well, if they bring it back, they can't bring Tom back because they don't like each other now. But that was when it was really good.
I tweeted out a GIF. I said, Tom Arnold is somewhere. And I tweeted out a GIF of Risky Business.
But Tom's the first guy who actually called it. And nobody, you know what I mean? Like on Twitter, he was like, oh, I knew this, so all that stuff.
You know, I had lunch with her once. Phyllis Diller was on my show. She played my grandma on the show.
Phyllis Diller.
And yeah, she was amazing.
Nice lady.
You know, nice lady, classy, wisdom. It was smart, loving, caring, and she's just the best person. And what happened was is that she goes. She called me. She goes, Chris, I'd love to be on a show. I'm going to lunch with Roseanne. You want to go? And I said, okay. So, and it was such a weird dichotomy because on one side you got Phyllis Diller, who's this icon, who basically kind of broke down so many levels of female comedy,
absolutely.
Like took it to the next level.
Absolutely.
And you got this other woman who, in the sense of comedy, kind of did the same thing.
Yes.
But sitting at the table between them, it was like class, grace, and light, and this horrible darkness on this side that was just like she was it was just weird. It was like I was negotiating with Satan's minions and some angels. Like, okay, guys, we're going to work this out, right? It was like a heaven and hell UN meeting, and I was in the middle of it.
The Titus diplomacy.
trying to make... I love that Roseanne, it took her, any narcissist, it took her less than 15 hours to blame Ambien. She couldn't just go, like with Titus, I called the president about him 3 months after the show canceled. I said, hey, I want you to know I apologize. I said, I shouldn't have argued with you. You're the boss. I should have listened to you. We could have figured it out, and I apologize. And she says how you say F you in Hollywood. She said, I wish you all the success you can get. That's how you say F you in Hollywood.
That's good.
I wish you success in your next project.
Is she still the president at Fox?
No. She went to Gail Berman. She went to Paramount and then got fired for being difficult.
Oh.
And part of me was like, ugh!
Oh. Did you call her and say, I wish you all the success?
Yeah, I did. I sent her a card. I wish you all the success.
Okay.
But no, and then another thing. Well, Alan, did you want to ask your question first before we go into the next subject?
You know, I have a real thing about this Richard Grieco.
Yeah, Richard Grieco. Yeah.
And
I was on 21 Jump Street.
I had to go to therapy. I had such an obsession over him, and so I just wanted to ask you.
How
did he feel?
I had to go to therapy.
I was really into Richard Grieco.
So you're like, this is bad.
This is bad. And so I wanted to ask you, how did he treat you,
Richard Grieco?
He put me up to this.
He
put me up to this.
How many Richard Grieco questions?
Totally contrived, Titus.
Except for the coffee
totally
I had to bring.
He thinks this is hilarious.
He needed coffee every 2
Excuse
hours.
Excuse me.
And then the foot rubs were weird. That was weird, but I thought, you know, maybe this, it was my first show, so maybe this is Hollywood.
Sure, sure.
I actually got to work on that
show. This was completely contrived.
I know. I got to work with DeLuise. I got to work with...
Don DeLuise.
Peter DeLuise. Don was in that episode, though. Peter and Michael.
Sure, sure.
Michael, and that's my first episode of TV. Boy, I played a-hole in that episode.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, if you bring up a Titus episode of 21 Jump Street, it's called Woolly Bullies. Man, I am, and I'm a fetus, too. I look at myself, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm 9. Why am I in this movie?
Well, that's so cool. That's so cool. Yeah.
But no, I just thought, because before I interview people, I like to listen to previous interviews so I don't ask them the same subjects. You know what I mean?
And I've already told the same story.
But I was noticing that, you know, no one's ever asked you a Richard Grieco question.
So he's never.
So you managed
to figure that out.
Out of the five that I've listened to, I didn't hear a Richard Grieco.
Where did I run into him somewhere? It was weird, like 4 or 5 years after that, I ran into him somewhere. And I didn't, because I never saw him on the set. I was working with Michael and Peter, my section of the show. And
was it at the
And
Roxbury?
I was like, hey. I go, no, it was not. I said, hey, man. I said, I did Tony and Justin. And he goes, great. No, that was I don't think Richard Grieco was ever said to me.
Okay. There you go.
Oh, man.
Thank you, Titus.
He was still Richard Grieco at that time.
Okay. Yeah. Back when it was cool.
Like, I used to be Christopher Titus, but now.
That's another thing. Because we do comedy, and, you know, you're obviously a national headliner, and I'm just like a nobody right now. But, like, when I tell people who I've had on the show, I was like, oh, Christopher Titus, they do. Yeah. Oh, we love Titus. I was like, yeah. And then, like, they're like, he goes by Titus. I was like, oh. So then when I texted you, I was like, Titus. And then, like, you said, oh, it's, you know, I was confused. I don't know what to call you, Christopher Titus.
Titus.
Everyone calls
Titus.
So I was like, I don't, you know.
You heard it right here.
I was like,
yeah, if you don't figure it out, though, I'll beat your ass. Because that's usually what I do. If you can't figure out what something to call me, I just don't like wishy-washy. That makes me violent.
So I was trying to be, like, really polite and stuff, but I didn't want to, like, offend you.
Yeah, if,
like,
you know my comedy, really, Titus, after all my comedy, you think polite is something I need.
No, but, like, I have Asperger's, so, like, I don't want to, like, I don't want to, like, you know what I mean?
Explain to me Asperger's exactly, what it is.
Oh, Asperger's is a form of autism.
Right.
And
high functioning, obviously.
Yeah, but I have mild functioning.
I hope so.
And,
we're here. Unless this is not connected to anything.
That's right.
And
that's
we're just
correct.
In a room talking to ourselves, and he's just saving hard drives of these shows just for himself.
Just for himself.
I probably am.
It's not being broadcast anywhere.
But basically, it's like I don't see social cues very well, and I have no filter, and, you know, I do.
So basically, you're perfect for a stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
So that means I have Asperger's. I have no filter, and I don't pick up social cues.
Yeah,
I got my show canceled. That's the social cue I should have picked up. So I also have Asperger's.
There you go. See, we proved something today.
But you could be like, hey, Gil, instead of Faith, let's get Roseanne.
Yeah.
She's mentally insane.
I feel it's weird because you could hear her because she said, I'm off Twitter now. And literally 4 hours
later, she was back
on Twitter. And you could just see her. You could see she's at home somewhere regretting everything that happened in the last 24 hours.
Really?
Oh, you could just see. Yeah. Well, she's blaming. No. You know, people like that, they start blaming stuff.
Horrible.
You just have the balls to go, hey, I did it. Sorry. She did. And then I think it was Ambien. Joe Rogan is right.
Yeah.
Joe Rogan, he'd be like, don't bring me in this. What are you doing?
Yeah, I do think that that's messed up because you're right. It does cost the jobs of other people. You know what I mean? And it's just like.
I just, you know, man, as you get older, part of you, as you get older, because during Titus, I had this weird thing about integrity for the show. I want us to save the show and we're doing it this way. And that's why I film my own specials now, because I don't want. I don't like.
I love your specials.
I don't like being told what to do,
which is a thing, creatively.
I mean, look, if you're going to hire me to do something, you know, and you want me to do a corporate gig, I'll write a whole show for your company. That's fine. Mm-hmm. You can tell me what to do if you're paying me. But if you're not, when people go, I've been people with this new show, Armageddon, they've been like, don't. Mm-hmm. You know, don't do politics. Don't talk about the president. Don't do. And I was like, why?
Yeah.
And they're like, because you're going to piss people off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but what did George Carlin do? Robin Williams, you know, would go into places. Mm-hmm. Robin Williams, say what you want. He was so lovable, but he got away with some.
Really?
Write down some of his stuff. You're like, wow, he really said that out loud.
Yeah.
But he was saying it. So I don't like. You know, when it comes to TV, though, I've learned, you know, Titus was such a personal thing. The show was called Titus. It was about my actual life with my people. And I think I should have, I needed to be more diplomatic with it.
Yeah.
I've learned diplomacy since. Yeah. But I also had two great producers on it, Jack and Kenny and Brian Hargrove, who should have stuck a pencil in my neck while I was sitting there. They should have just killed me. And the second I started smarting off to Gail Berman, they should have just punched me in the eye as hard as they possibly could. Sorry, he does that. Thank you for punching me in the eye.
I don't think you did anything.
Yeah.
Richard Pryor went on about his life on stage, and you're not doing anything that much different.
I actually disagree. I'm glad that you had the balls and did that because that makes you really care about your product.
I do. And that's why stand up. When the show got canceled, I walked away and I was like, I told my new wife, it was like coast 6 or 7, and I said, we had done Big Shots, and Big Shots got canceled by the writer's strike. And I
loved Big Shots.
I turned it. We were just getting good too, man. Those guys, Michael Vartan and Josh Molina and Dylan McDermott, man, we were just starting to have fun. We really had got a rhythm, and the show had started coming up, and the ratings had started moving, and the writer's strike happened, and it killed us.
No. Well, that show, you showed a lot of your acting ability, too.
A-hole. I play lovable a-holes really well. I guess, you always get cast who you are, and I have to face that's who I am, I guess.
No, there's a need.
Yeah. There's a need. I fill a niche, the lovable a-hole niche. I do. So what happened was that I walked out of the show when it got canceled. I was really bummed out, and my divorce was raging, and it was just burning money with my ex-wife and attorneys. And I told Rachel, my new wife, I said, I am going, the one thing they can't take from me, the one thing they can't F with, the one thing that no one can step in and go, you can't do that anymore, is stand up.
Yeah.
They can cancel a TV show. They cannot release a movie. They cannot finance a movie. But when it comes to me sitting down and writing jokes and getting on a stage, you can't take that from me. Yeah. You have to kill me.
Yeah.
So I decided that from now on, every 18 months, I'm going to do a new special. Mm-hmm. And now this one, Amerigeddon, which we're filming on June 9th in Arizona, will be my 8th 90-minute special.
Oh, nice.
Nice. All right. Yeah.
Carlin did 14 in 21 albums. Oh,
are you going to try and beat 14?
Man, it's funny because I thought, when I was at three, I thought 14 is impossible. Now I'm at 8, and it still seems impossible. That means I still got to do. Don't make me do math. I have to do 6 more after this. Yeah. But I think it's possible. Yeah, my last one will be a Titus. Survives prostate cancer. I think that'll be my last one. It'll be a lot of jokes about radiation and nurses.
Here you go.
But it's weird for like how long I've been doing stand up. Like in all honesty, I probably only have 45 minutes an hour.
How long have you been doing stand-up?
12, 13 years. So I'm very lazy then.
I was going to say, that's on you.
Yeah. But eight specials, and you've been doing it when I started and even when I was a kid. So that's remarkable. You know what I mean?
In Europe, England, Scotland. By the way, I'm going to list all the countries in Europe now because you guys don't understand where Europe is. I'm an idiot. So
go ahead for our listeners.
Keep going. Belgium. So, those comics over there because. We have this – we're lucky in America as comics. We have this monster country, 330 million people. We have so many states and so many places to go to that you can basically, if you want to, if you want to hustle and work every state, you can do the same act for 10 years. You can do the exact same act for 10 years.
Nice.
And you're not growing. You're not getting better as a comic. Or you can decide to do the European model, Ireland. the European model, which is those guys do the Fringe Festival in Edinburgh, they have to write a new hour every year.
Wow.
And it's funny because over there, comedy is seen as art. Here it's not seen like that.
Not anymore.
It's like a douchebag just gets up and talks about his penis for half
that's
an hour.
Right.
And I always look at it as like Carlin. Say what you want, but Carlin was a craftsman and an artist
completely.
At the same time. Dude, some of those stuff. Every time you want to feel bad about yourself, go watch Modern Man. Go watch that first bit he does in that one special. You'd be like, I'm gonna quit. I'm gonna be a welder. I'm gonna go be a lumberjack because I suck compared to this dude.
He's amazing.
But no, I will say that. There's only three stand-up comedians I've seen live that have not done the same act. And I've seen you live about 6 or 7 times. It's never been the same, And I opened for Norm. He doesn't do the same. And
Norm is crazy funny. Yeah. He is savant funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Norm is so funny.
And then
and I don't even know him, but man, every time I'm like, like, and Hitler's dog. I mean, like, what are you thinking of? He thinks so weird.
I actually told him to put Hitler's dog in the special.
Oh yeah,
because you know he ends on that joke. I was like, I think it'd be funny have a special Hitler's dog. Like that would, I would watch that. That's
yeah, funny. You know, yeah. I might do that.
So and he actually said that, and then he did it, and then the third comic is Jeremy Hotz.
Yeah, like Jeremy Hotz. Yeah.
I've never seen you guys do the exact same stuff. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you guys are guys who I really admire in comedy because it's...
Well, thank God life keeps... Horrible things in life keep just... You know, like a tsunami of pain keeps hitting me because the next one... I already know what the next one's about.
Yeah?
You know? Yeah. This one, we're going to film this one on the 9th, and then the next one... Mm-hmm. The next one's about my kids going back to live with their mom. You know, because I did that. I ran away when I was a kid, lived with my dad, and so I tell that horrible story and what a jerk I was, and how my at the end of living with my mom, we'd been evicted 3 times. Wow. Yeah, wow. A 12-year-old kid should not know the sheriff. How's it going, Sheriff Doug? Do we put the furniture on the lawn now or tomorrow? When is the trucks coming? Because
it's even worse when you're on first and last name basis.
Exactly. So it's all about that little mom, and then moved back to my dad's, a nightmare. And then my kids did it to me. Yeah. You know, my kids just did the same thing to me, and it was weird as how life just keeps repeating itself. And you're suicided or not? You know, you contemplate it. You don't do it. You contemplate it.
Yeah, no, I understand that because I also suffer from depression. And like, you know, there's times where you see me on Twitter. Sometimes like they're really dark. You know what I mean? And it's you know, but
that's why I'm here, and that's why I feel, because honestly, this is an intervention. We decided to help you.
Thanks, Chris.
We're changing your medication, and I want you to know that we're going to bring you to a different place.
Your social cues will go way through the roof.
Exactly. You're going to start understanding what's really happening around you.
Well, Ty, so we have to take a break for the sponsors, and then when we come back, we got some Twitter questions.
Cool.
Do you like Twitter questions?
I hell yeah.
Yeah, he loves them, actually.
All right. This episode of Razor Riffs is brought to you by Greg Rouquet. Greg is an up-and-coming stand-up comedian. He's been on Comedy Central. He's disabled and Mexican, so he'll mark off 2 diversity quotas for the price of 1. Book him on your shows and let him fill your sad, meaningless lives with well-crafted jokes. He's the only vegetable who doesn't pick fruit. Follow him on Twitter. Follow him on Twitter, Facebook, and add him on Instagram. Click on his stupid, sexy face. But more importantly, book him on your shows. I have done lots of shows with Greg, and he's actually hilarious.
And Titus's movie special unit, this episode is dedicated to Greg.
Oh.
He's disabled, and we have disabled actors in the movie.
We're going to talk about that after we finish the...
Very all right, keep pouring for Greg. Go ahead.
It's my turn.
All right.
Amy Brick with Brick & Company Real Estate gets homes sold for more than asking with her 11-day marketing plan. This is an amazing way to sell homes. She not only gets you more than you're asking, but she also gets multiple offers. This is an amazing time in real estate, and it is a seller's market. If you want to cash in on your property, call Amy Brick right now to talk about your real estate plans and how she can get you more money than you've ever imagined. She lists homes all over Southern California. Call her at 562-335-5289 or visit her website at amybrick.com. California license 013-58129. That's 562-335-5269.
Numbers are hard.
Numbers are hard in this business.
Read the number again.
562-335-5269. Amy Brick.
Titus is actually calling.
I have a podcast to trust. Thank you.
And then this episode is also brought to you by Christopher Titus's biggest fan, Russell Larson.
So, Russell!
Yes, sir, Russell.
So, listening. Before I start, before we move
Russell on. Russell had no commercial. We got to make a commercial for Russell.
We got to make a commercial.
Rush, by the way, Russell has got obviously good taste because he loves Titus's comedy. Russell lives in Arizona. Is that true?
Yeah, he lives in Arizona.
He'll be at the special taping on June 9th. He'll be on our list as a guest because he's sponsoring the show. But do me a favor. When you see Russell, give him a handshake, pat him on the back, and flip him a dollar if you can. All right.
He needs 125 of them.
To make up.
But didn't he say that ad just like Gail?
Like who?
Gail from Fox. No, all right, bad joke. You know see, what? Social
juice. By the way, what a great excuse. Even if you don't have Asperger's, just see, people just say you have Asperger's now. Just whenever you're, because then you're like, if you act like a douche in public, you can just go, I have Asperger's. Then everyone goes, oh my God.
Everybody uses
I thought
that,
about that.
Though. Yeah. When I do stand up and like before I go up, like someone if a joke bombs, they'll do the Asperger's and they know I'm on the show and you know I'm known as the Asperger comic. So then like it kind of takes away my material, yeah. And so you know luckily for me I just like talk and then I you know I bring up my autism and I was like, unlike those guys, I actually have documentations.
Yeah, it's not like those guys. No. I have a paperwork from a doctor, yeah. And I have to take medication 3 jokes from now. 3 jokes from now, I have to take some. Every 35 jokes, I have to get another dose.
But your movie Special Unit has disabled actors, too.
We did that, yeah. It was a 10-year quest, man, and we got it done. We did a pilot for Comedy Central in 06, and then the movie, then it was weird. People were like, this is really funny. We're not going to put money into this because, you know, it's a big bet. You've been disabled actors and stuff, and I got 2 investors and myself. We all took a third of the budget, and we got it made. Have you seen it?
I've not.
Wow, it's been out since November, and you haven't seen it.
I saw the trailer.
Nice. Wow, what a douchebag.
No, I mean,
talk about social. By the way, this is not an Asperger's thing. You're just a douche right now. You should have seen Titus's movie. It's like 3 bucks on Amazon. It's not even like
Titus.
Hard to go see, and it's really funny. And it's like 5-star reviews. No one even like. We got better reviews than some real like studio releases that you don't even watch my movie, and yet you want me to come to your podcast? What kind of crap is that?
I'm telling you.
Here's the thing.
Thank you.
No, I'm... another thing about
Asperger's. I know.
Social cues.
Another thing about Asperger's, they're so brutally honest. So, I mean, I can't lie to you because...
That's appreciative. You know, that's what that's like good. About
so,
you.
So, like,
that.
If I said, yes, I saw it, and then you asked me questions, I could just be like, oh, yeah, that was fun.
When are you going to see it?
I'll see it when I...
When you see it.
Tonight I have a show. I'll watch it tomorrow.
Okay, promise.
There you heard it right here.
You could text me questions and I'll answer.
A quiz.
Honestly. That's my, now I don't want it. I want you to see it. I don't want you to be honest. I want you to say it's really great. No, it is really funny. Billy Gardell is balls out funny in this movie.
Yeah, I love Billy.
And everybody in the movie, you know, the whole point was so many people with disabilities... you know, real ones, not like Asperger's. Real disabilities. Like
what?
No. He said, what?
What?
they are treated. So three ways they are treated. Wow, I almost
like
had a disability.
Shit.
They either are made fun of to their face, they're either made fun of behind their back, or they're ignored. That's the way the disabled are. And when I say ignored, they're really ignored. They're like, people don't even look at them. And that's not everybody's fault, because we've been taught since we're kids, you know, don't look at them, don't stare, don't bother them. And I get maybe the heart of that is a good thing. Don't, you know, don't make fun of people, don't stare at people.
Sure.
But the other side of it is... All of a sudden, these people live in this weird invisibility. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to write a movie where they were just full out. Deborah Carrington, who you know, rest in peace, she passed. She's in it, and she's balls out in this movie. It was her last movie. Mm-hmm. And she's so funny in it. And Michael Aronin, who's a comic from the East Coast. And they all have... disabilities and they say them and I'm totally able-bodied, but I have more disability than everybody. I'm a raging alcoholic, criminal, douchebag, cop.
Nice
I'm
guy
the worst.
On
I'm
radio.
The worst cop. But again, that was, by the way, my honesty to you was my Asperger's. There you go. Right?
See,
you bring out the Asperger's in me too.
There you go. No.
But like I will say that like one of your bits about the word retarded, I think that you did that joke those jokes so well. Classy, you know what I mean? Like really, and I just want to say from me and on the autism spectrum, I really appreciate how classy you did that joke.
That's a true story. That story in that bit is. Here's the thing: when people say retarded or whatever, there was always this anger thing to it. I wanted to own it. I wanted to flip the word.
Yeah,
you know, because a retarded. If you're in a wheelchair, but you still are a lawyer, and you still have your own business, and you still raised a family, and you're still in a wheelchair, that's not retarded or disabled. No. That's exceptional.
Sure.
You don't have everything working, dude, and you're still making it like everybody else's. Yeah, that's exceptional. Sure. You're climbing a higher mountain than everybody else's. But if you have all your facilities working, your arms, legs, and your brain works, and you're addicted to crystal meth living under a bridge, you're retarded.
That's there. Thank you.
There you go. I just want to think, it's such a weird, and I've had parents write me, my daughter has severe autism, my daughter has severe cerebral palsy, and I started watching this bit so angry, and by the end of it, thank you so much for making it. You flipped it for me, and you flipped it for my daughter.
Oh, that's great.
She thinks it's funny now.
So I'm not the only one who told you that?
No.
Oh. No. I was like...
Yeah, you're the... Oh, wow, you're a narcissistic dude with an Asperger's.
A narcissistic Asperger's. Wow, what a combo.
Like, wait a minute, I'm not the only one? No, other people have also noticed that I'm a genius.
Oh my! It's like a therapy today. It's not a podcast anymore.
Yeah. Well, that's what you get for bringing Richard Grieco to the table.
Yeah, man. Well, yeah, the gauntlet. You threw the gauntlet down early, bro.
Thank you. Oh, man.
But seriously, from the bottom of my heart, I appreciate that bit.
You're welcome, man. Great. So, you know, comedy for me is like not just a let me write another dick joke, let me write another fart joke. I always like try to. If you look at all my specials, I've tried to, and this didn't happen. I'd done comedy 12 years before I got this.
Yeah.
I saw Lily Tomlin do Signs of Intelligent Life years ago, but I was never good enough to pull something off like that. And then I was 12 years in and I was going to quit comedy. I just, like the material you have.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff you've done too many times.
Oh, yes,
and
of
you,
course.
And you know when you're on stage, when you're about to do it again, you kind of hate yourself for doing it, don't you?
Yes and no.
Okay, but yes, you know it's going to get a laugh.
Yeah.
But you wish you had new material.
Yes and no. Can I explain?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, because I agree. You know, it's like sometimes it's like no longer jokes. It's a script. You're just reading.
Right.
Right? No, because that audience doesn't know who I am and they don't know the beauty of my humor.
Ooh. Right.
So that's where it's tricky for me. And plus,
the narcissism runs deep. The beauty of my humor. Yeah. They don't know the beauty of my humor. No. On your tombstone, we're putting that. We're putting that. We knew the beauty of his humor.
Will you at least go to my funeral?
I will definitely go to your funeral. I will talk smack, though.
Yeah, there we go.
This guy's going to miss it, man.
We're going to go together to your funeral.
Yeah, we will.
You're going to skip therapy.
Depending on how this works out.
Well, he's got over the Richard Grieco thing. He cleared it up. He can skip a day. But I want you to know is that like
here's, fuck it, I'd rather just hang out with Titus.
Okay. Let me talk to you about this for a second, because there's a scary joy in it, in like every time. So we'll film this thing on the 9th. I'll probably do it. I'll keep doing it until we release it.
Uh-huh.
Then once it's released, I'll start chunking it. I'll start tossing it and writing the new. And I'll go on stage with 15 pieces of paper and I'll start reading the new jokes. There's something about that I've become an addict to it. You know, you have some people to get tattoos. Or they get one tattoo, and all of a sudden they're addicted to it.
Right.
Tattoos hurt. But they get weirdly addicted to it.
Exactly.
So it's painful to break a new material. It's painful, but the victory on the other side of it is amazing. This show was the hardest one. Armageddon was the hardest show I had to write, because when I first started writing it, it was in December 2 years ago. A year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I started doing some Trump jokes, and people would stand up in the audience, F you, suck it! They would start screaming.
So angry.
And
it was a girl who said that.
Yeah, make America great again! What? Shut up! And they would scream, and then I realized that this show can't be about... Trump's going away. There's whatever, whether it's 2 years, 4 years, or 8, it doesn't matter. We'll get a new idiot soon.
Sure. Right.
The problem with this, when I got this, this show is about America. It's about why are we becoming tribalized and why are we splitting up?
Mm-hmm.
And we should be we again. We're not we anymore. We're us and them.
Yeah. Exactly.
And, you know, and every side thinks that. And we need to be we again, because the only way, there's a bit I wrote called They, We, Them. Have you seen this show yet? Do you see any of this show? Because I'm doing it on a Saturday. If you guys are local in town, Saturday I'm doing two shows at Flappers in Burbank.
That's right around the corner.
Yeah, warmed up. So you want to go, man, come to the show.
Okay, definitely.
I was supposed to go when you were around Irvine, but I got a gig last second.
We'll do it.
Really?
You took work instead of seeing me?
Yeah, he's something.
Well, you stood me up.
I hope people got your beautiful humor. I haven't got the Guinness deal for humor. So you're not living that down, bro. Any comedian that says that, like, oh, if there was three more comics in this room, you'd be getting hammered right now.
Yeah, I know.
So I'll be in Burbank this Saturday.
At Flappers.
Yeah. I'm warming up. I'm doing stuff because we're going to film it next weekend.
Sure.
So, but come see the show because I really got that. This bit called We, They, Them. Everybody forgot it was we. It's not us versus them. Here's the problem with America right now. We all believe something about somebody who doesn't agree with us. You know, every conservative is just a, you know, a sister screwing four-wheel truck driving redneck, and every liberal eats kale salad at the butt of his boyfriend, you know? You know, drizzled in raspberries, balsamic from Whole Foods. So that's what we think about each other. And the reality is that the people that run it made us think that they.
Thank you.
And by the way, that's the problem throughout history is they.
They.
Yeah. Whoever is in power, all they want is money, all they want is power, they all have small penises, even Hillary. In our history, it's all ancient silver-haired white guys. A lot of them are Draculas.
They bow to the altar of gold.
Yeah, and they all have that thing under their chin. That Sith Lord flap thing they all got. So those guys made everybody believe it's us versus them. Mm-hmm. And Trump's worse than anybody at it because he's keeping us split. Because if they keeps us split, then the mad people focus on each other instead of the guy that's ruining
us.
Yeah. If we could be we, the whole biz about we, they, them. So if we became we and we showed up and we don't have to get along, but we don't have to agree, but we have to get along. And we showed up in Washington, red baseball hats, pink pussy hats. How you doing,
there you
man?
Go. There you go.
Yeah, we figured our stuff out. I love organic lavender potpourri. I ain't lying.
Well, you could say what you want about Trump, but you have to admit, he has the best ties.
Yeah, man. Where do you get a 6-foot tie?
He's wearing green and yellow.
I felt like this today.
Making China great again. China-made ties, man.
There you go.
I've never seen it more corrupt. Like, here's the thing is, and what I don't understand, do you guys understand that the people that follow the guy that are hardcore, I say in my show, it's liberals' fault that people are, because what happens is we become a bunch of digital pussies online and we're just being, we all think Trump people are stupid. No. They're not. They just voted for who they voted for, thinking he was going to be a normal dude, and he ended up this guy. But now they can't back off because everybody on the left is going, you loser, you idiot. No, I'm not an idiot. I'm good. And so everyone gets your backup. They're not stupid.
Yeah.
You know, I say this joke, and here's when the show changed. I did a joke one night. I walked on stage, and I go, you Trump voters, I feel for you because you know damn well every time that man walks towards a microphone, you have anxiety. And I saw – I was looking in the crowd, and there was four people up front. They just put their head, and they started nodding like, yes. They get it. They just don't know what to do.
He's got comedic timing of sorts.
He does.
Don't you think?
Yeah, he does have a rhythm.
No, are you,
I'm not kidding, man. I watched the speech last night, and
I thought I would react. No, really.
He knows how to talk. Yeah, he knows how to perform, but it's crazy.
It's funny.
It's insane. It's like – it's literally, literally a couple tears in his suit away from a homeless man the way he talks. Yeah, we're going to get Mexico to pay for the wall. I'm going to say it. Mexico.
Sure.
If you just wrote it all down and gave it to a dude standing on the corner with a big beard just walking around, Mexico's paying for the wall. And you could just list everything Trump says and just give it to a homeless guy and be like, that guy's crazy.
That is crazy.
Did you hear what he just said?
They're
coming after me. They're coming after me. The FBI. Yeah, there was people in my campaign. They embedded undercover. They're coming to get me. Witch hunt.
That's good. Wow, that's one way to put it.
He's a homeless man. Yeah. He's literally a homeless man with really good handlers. That's all he is.
Yeah, that's amazing. And nice ties.
Nice tie. That's amazing. That's one way to put it. I got to admit, that's funny.
Of course. It's the funniest guy. It's that's in his new show, right?
Actually, it is now.
It is now.
See? I was looking for a bit, and I just riffed it on the air. I'm going to write it when I get home.
Thanks to Asperger Keys.
All you got to do is go through it, all the stuff he says, and it sounds don't kneel. You hate the flag if you kneel. You sound like an idiot, dude. You sound mentally ill.
Yeah. All right, so you're doing that at practicing at Flappers.
Make America great again! wow, dude.
You're practicing at Flappers, and then you're filming it at the Tempe Improv?
No, I know the show. I'm not practicing anymore.
No,
people don't want to pay to see you practice.
I didn't mean. I meant.
No, I'm doing the show. The show's done. I'm running it. I'll be breaking in two new pieces, which is weird. Always write a new piece right before you film. That's really good. Don't spend the time to work it out. You know, just write it right before.
That's what I meant. Tightrope kind of thing.
Yeah, but I misspoke.
There's just two. There's just two chunks in the show I want to fix, and they're not bad. There's nothing bad, but you know, as a comic, you get to this place where, and the audience will never know. They laugh a little bit, but you know the idea is funnier than they're giving you, and it's the words. So what I'm working on now is patent. Werewolves and Lollipops, Patton Oswalt's album, taught me a lot about words. Him and Carlin. That album specifically, though, if I really want to hear...
Werewolves and Lollipops.
Werewolves and Lollipops. So I want to hear something to inspire me. I'll listen to that album again, or I'll go back to "You Are All Disease" by George Carlin.
Well, that's a great one.
Yeah, Carlin was ballsy though. That when they released last year, that was supposed to be released right before 9/11 happened. I like it when a lot of people die. He had to be.
That was
the universe going, George. You got to tone it down just a tiny bit.
Yeah,
people die. I love it.
Do you know they taped that? Like it was 9/11 on. It was a Tuesday, right?
It was on Tuesday.
Yeah.
He had that weekend, the weekend prior to that, he had taped that special in New York. And then 9/11 happened.
It was in New York?
I'm not saying George Carlin caused 9/11. I'm just saying it's really weird. Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's a little Oswaldish Kennedy thing is what I want to talk.
What conspiracy?
Well, we're actually out of time, Chris.
I can talk way too long.
No,
thanks for having me on, man.
Thank you.
Where can the folks at home follow you?
Go to ChristopherTitus.com. That's my website. You can get all my specials there. Or if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at Titus Nation on Twitter or The Real Christopher Titus on Facebook. And if you hit me on Twitter and you argue with me, I will go after you.
Well, that's what happened with us, and then we followed each other.
And now you're working together. It's like fighting in the schoolyard. Thanks, guys, for having me on.
That's his therapist.
Thank you.
Call.
There, you got it.
We got to mention the sponsors one more time.
And Christopher will be in
Burbank.
Saturday.
Burbank the Saturday, Tempe next weekend, and then Vegas that weekend after that.
Yeah.
At the South Point Casino.
But Tempe's the special show.
Tempe, we're filming the special. Yeah. We'll have this. And you come Friday and Thursday and Friday, too, because the set will be all up and the lights and everything. And then we're going to film on. We're going to do run throughs on. Thursday and Friday, and then Saturday we're filming it.
All right, we're going Friday.
You going to Tempe?
No, I thought you said it was
Burbank. Oh, this Friday. Oh,
Yeah. If I don't have shows with Norm, I'll do it. I'll go.
You work with Norm all the time?
Whenever he calls me, yeah.
Give Norm my love. Tell him how much what a genius I think he is.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'll give you his number. You guys could.
Yeah, don't tell him, though. Oh, yeah. Let me just randomly call his ass.
This episode of Razor Riffs is brought to you by Greg Rouquet. He's an up-and-coming stand-up who has been featured on Comedy Central. He's disabled and Mexican, so he'll mark off two diversity quotas for the price of one. Book him on your shows and let him fill your sad, meaningless lives with well-crafted jokes. He's the only vegetable who doesn't pick fruit. Follow him on Twitter, add him on Facebook, and add him on Instagram, or check out his sexy, stupid face. But more importantly, book this man on your shows.
Amy Brick with Brick & Company Real Estate gets homes sold for more than asking with her 11-day marketing plan. This is an amazing way to sell homes. She not only gets you more than you're asking, but she also gets multiple offers. This is an amazing time in real estate, and it's a seller's market. If you want to cash in on your property, call Amy Brick right now to talk about your real estate plans and how she can get you more money than you ever imagined. She lists homes all over Southern California. Call her at 562-335-5269 or visit her website at amybrick.com. California license Q135812 9. That's Amy Brick.
Titus is just thinking, should I sell my home?
There you go. There you go. He's and calling her right now. He's calling her right now.
I'm going to give Amy a ring.
Fantastic.
And then this episode is also brought to you by the biggest Christopher Titus fan, Russell Larson. So thanks.
Go see Russell at his house.
Thanks
in
so much.
Phoenix.
If you guys like the show, subscribe on iTunes, rate, review, follow us on social media. We need the love. And thanks again, Titus.
Again,
I really
Mr.
appreciate it, man.
Christopher guys,
it was
Titus. Great. Thanks, man. And you're not as Asperger as you think.
Oh, awesome. No, cool. So we're cool?
Yeah, totally.
All right. Cool.
He says that now until he gets all these text messages.
Which is the narcissistic part, though. The narcissistic part is still there.
That's not Asperger's. You're a stalker. That's one thing. Oh. I mean, it's different.
No, we gotta get you back in round two. I got a whole bit on that stuff. See you guys. All right.
You're listening to Razor Riffs with Keith Razor and Alan Lee right here on LA Talk Radio.